Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Well, welcome, church. It is so good to be with you. I've got the water here because my throat is a little croaky. I may or may not have gone to the Reds match last night. If you don't follow rugby, that's okay. But what a great game. We had a lot of fun. It's a real honor to be here. It's a real privilege to be able to come and speak and share God's word today on Mother's Day. What a really special day. What a fun time we've had. I believe that a lot of people in the room today, right or online, they would say that their mums are the glue that holds their family together. Or at the very least, be scraping up the glue off the floor from their toddler. But let's just leave that one there. I know everyone's circumstances and upbringing are different. You know, I get that. And some of you today may not have had the greatest mum or upbringing. And you know, yet today, I really believe that in the house of God, we need to celebrate mums. We need to celebrate who they are. I'm super blessed to have a great mum in my life. I'm super blessed to have been brought up and had such a supportive family environment. I'm thankful and so blessed to have Kelly, my beautiful wife, in our family, who's an extraordinary mum. And I know that you constantly deny your own desires and your own needs to be able to support our family. And before, up the back here, you'll see a beautiful photo of our family. It's reasonably beautiful. Maybe not the dude on the right or left, depending on what you're looking at. But yeah, I just wanted to just say welcome to all the mums and thank you for being here. This is my family. For some of you, you may not know me very well. Some of you have known me for many, many years. So my name is Grant and I'm the family pastor here. And it's a real honor and privilege to be a part of what God's doing here in our midst. So up behind me, if you don't know us as a family, I'm the guy with the glasses. That's me. And my wife Kelly and my four kids, Isabel, Thomas, Noah, and Esther. And it's a real, I suppose, a little bit of background about us and about me. I was on staff for about 8 years before we were known as River Life, and when we're back at Kenmore Baptist Church. And so I was a youth pastor there. Finished up in about 2012, and then went and worked with a group called Red Frogs Australia as a national director of schoolies and education. And so what a journey that was. And then in about 2016, God started to really stir up some really significant things on our heart for mission and to work cross-culturally. And so through a number of amazing God moments and God encounters and Him speaking into our family, all of our family, not just me and Kelly, but to our kids, we ended up moving to Thailand. So all those out there, Sawadee Krap. We did learn a little bit of Thai, but I'm not going to speak anymore because I'd embarrass myself. But we were there for about 3.5 years, and at the end of last year, we made the move back home. It was a really clear move from God. It was hard, but we felt a real peace on us that God was saying it's time to come back to Australia, which was really hard because we'd kind of made Thailand our home. We were excited and part of what God was doing there. We were part of training and equipping leaders all throughout Southeast Asia. We helped establish and start a new ministry into the lives of many women who are trafficked in Chiang Mai and throughout Asia, and that was an incredible time for us. But it is great to be home. We had even had the privilege of going through quarantine with four kids, so that was fun. But to be back here and reconnecting, learning what it is to live again in Australia is challenging but also awesome. So if you don't know us, please come and say hi. Please come and greet myself. Kelly's down the front. I won't get her to stand up, but she's the beautiful one. Penny's also beautiful too, so and also Amy. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Whew, got that one. I thought, you know, if you know me, I do love a little joke. So I thought, what better way to start, like a Mother's Day, to be able to have some dad jokes, right? Yeah? Anyway, a little girl asked her mum, "Mum, how did the human race appear? Like, how did they start?" Mum answered, "Well, God made Adam and Eve. They had children, and so all mankind was made." 2 days later, the little daughter was like, "I'm going to go ask Dad." Dad asked the same question. He said, "Well, look, I think many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race evolved." Now, the girl was really confused, obviously. She goes back to the mum. It's like, "Mum, how is this possible that you told me the human race was created by God, yet Dad said they developed from monkeys?" Mother answered, "Well, dear, it's pretty simple. I told you about my side of the family. Your father told you about his." Thank you. Thank you. One final one, seeing as though you guys are lapping this up, but you may have heard this one. But the daughter comes to her mum and says, "Mum, what's it like to have the greatest daughter in the world?" "Mum, I don't know, dear, you'll have to ask Grandma." That's for all those grandmas and mums in the house. But all jokes aside, Mother's Day got me really thinking a lot about family, being parents, giving thanks to God for our own mums. Being a mum is certainly something to celebrate. I'm not a mum, but it's great to be able to celebrate our mums in the house today. And for many women and family, Mother's Day is such a special time. You know, it's great to be able to get together and honour and celebrate mums, to have that time. However, as Pastor Tree said earlier, I know that not everyone in the room or those online see Mother's Day as something that's really exciting. It might actually be really tough for you. It might be kind of the opposite to a lot of families here. You know, I just want to stop for a moment and acknowledge that for some, it's a painful reminder, perhaps of past trauma or abuse, of miscarriage, of infertility. I know there's people in the room who've been trying to have kids for years. And, you know, when you get to Mother's Day, it's like, "Oh, this is hard, God, because we really want kids, but we don't have them yet." Perhaps the death of a child. You know, to the single women in the room who would long for a life partner, but you haven't gone down that path or found the right person, and yet they see families and partner people around them all the time, and they're just like, "Man, I just crave for that." You know, today I believe God wants anyone in this room who finds today tough to know that God sees you, and he sees your pain, he sees your hurt. He sees what you've gone through, what you're in currently. He sees your future. He wants you to come, and he wants you to know that he cries with you, that he sits with you, he hugs you, and that he's your comforter, your healer, your restorer, and for you to know that you're loved. Whether you're a mum or not, today, God wants everyone in this room, everyone online who's watching now or maybe in a few days, for you to know and experience his incredible love. And I think it's important for everyone today, all of us in the room, to know that the most important role that we will ever play in life isn't that of a mother, isn't that of a father or a son or a daughter or a child, whatever it might be to you. But the most important role anyone will ever have in life is that of God's beloved child. As I mentioned earlier, our family have just spent a few years in Thailand. Now, in Thailand, they have a king. Everyone knows that the Thai king is well-loved and is known, he's very rich. But it's interesting that the people love him so much. They, in fact, some of them, a life memory for them would be just to catch a glimpse of the king. It's like, "Oh, he was in my city and I saw him," let alone not even talking to him or greeting him or whatever it might be. And yet just to catch this glimpse of him would be, for them, amazing. They essentially worship the ground that he walks. But there's an interesting thing that in all our time in Thailand, I didn't meet anybody who knew the king personally. Not one person. I'd met some who had seen him. There was a couple that were lucky enough to even get a photo, which for them is like up on the wall kind of stuff that's in their pool room. They don't have pool rooms in Thailand. But in the same way, I believe that as Christians, many of us know of God, love him, worship him as king, but he's actually far away and we have no or very little relationship with him. It may be you. You know, it's only when we know Father God where it speaks to this closeness, this intimacy. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14, verse 6 to 18. Slightly longish passage to start with, but we're going to pull out a bunch of things from here. So if you'd like to turn with me, if you don't have your Bibles, we're going to have it up on the screen. Now, to set the scene and give some brief backstory, essentially this is smack bang in the middle of the Last Supper, and Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet. He had foretold Peter's upcoming denial of ever knowing Jesus, and they start asking a few questions, and here we go in John 14, 6 to 18. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you long enough? You still do not know, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." What a powerful passage. There's so much in there. I'm not going to go through every verse and unpack it. We'd be here for a couple of hours. But I really felt like we need to go back to verse 6 first. And let's start with this. Here, Jesus is talking about a path, a way towards something. He says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Now, I know for me, this might be the same for you. For years, I kind of read this verse as, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through me." You know, I kind of was just living out this life that my goal is to go to heaven when I die, kind of thing. And yet, you see, I believe that the scripture in many places says that eternity begins now, not when we die. Jesus here was emphasizing the pathway for this to happen, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. No one can have relationship with Father God except through Jesus. Now, let's take a look at a few other times where Jesus speaks essentially into this same concept. There's a lot of times where in the Word, God talks about this concept of relationship with Father God. When Jesus taught us how to pray, you know, the disciples said, "Jesus, how do we pray?" He started with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." You know, we just read in John 14, verse 9, Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Are you seeing this? Are you getting it? Jesus came to show the way, the path back to relationship with Father God. I love as you continue in John 14, verse 10 and 11, it says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Man, Jesus said all these things because he wanted us to know that he came to restore something. He came to restore us back into relationship with Father God right now. Not when we die, right now. So what is so important about this truth? I want to take you back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. So we see in Genesis 3, we know that God has created Adam and Eve. These two had a really close relationship with God, obviously. There was perfection. It was a beautiful thing. God would come and walk with them. I see in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says that God is love. So when Adam and Eve walked together with God, do you think that they had much kind of stress going on? Do you think they were worried about the next day? That's a response from you guys. No. Like, essentially, they had this perfect thing going on, right? They weren't worried about what was happening around them. They weren't stressed. They weren't fearful, in fact. Do you think that they were worried about what was happening tomorrow? No. I mean, these guys were walking in perfect union with God. There was this perfect relationship. See, Adam and Eve didn't even know what fear was at this stage. You see, when you're in perfect love, there is no fear. And in 1 John 4, 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. You know, it's just like in Thailand, there's lots of street dogs, okay? And in many Asian nations, there's heaps of street dogs, you know, and they're just, some are pretty mangy and messed up, and you don't want to touch them. They may have rabies, all that sort of stuff. So, pretty gross. And yet, if I was going for a walk with my little daughter Esther, she was up on the stage here earlier, if I was with her and we saw a street dog, she just really wasn't fearful. She's like, well, my dad's with me. I'm okay. Dad's going to protect me. It's all fine. I'm sure you might have seen that with your little kids if you've got them. That, hey, when you're with them, there's a different level. Something's going on there because they're like, hey, I feel security. There's no fear here. And yeah, if Esther was playing out, I was going to say on the road, we wouldn't let her play on the road, but we're in a quiet kind of neighborhood. But if she was out there by herself and she saw a street dog come along, she would be like, ah! She'd run back inside. She'd be like, ah, street dog, I don't want to get bitten by a dog. And she'd be really fearful because she wasn't with her father. So if you were to ask Adam and Eve if they were worried prior to disobeying God, they probably would have looked at you pretty funny because there was such closeness between them and God, right? But that all changed in an instant. This is what happened when they disobeyed. They didn't just break a law, but they broke something really close. It was a relationship with Father God. Adam and Eve saw that they were now naked. They saw that they now became ashamed. Then they tried to cover up their nakedness and shame with fig leaves. When God came walking in the garden, they were hiding from their father, someone who they were super close with. So we just painted this picture of this beautiful intimacy with Father God. But did God change? Did God walk away? Did God do anything to change this relationship? No. It was us. It was us who chose to do something that broke relationship with God. We went down our own path. And something was broken there. From that moment on, because of sin, humans have been hiding from God. We try to cover up our shame with fig leaves. Not literally. Don't picture me trying to cover fig leaves. But we cover fig leaves, you know, we cover ourselves with fig leaves of the world. And some of these things are really great. In fact, all of them, well, nearly all of them, I won't say all of them, but a lot of these things like education, you know, like, hey, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher, or whatever it might be. These I think, can be a fig leaf for us. We're trying to cover up stuff. We're going, hey, if I'm successful, you know, the fig leaves of success, the fig leaves of beauty, the fig leaf, like, how much do we try to cover up who we might be really are because we're like, we're scared that someone else is going to be like, oh, we don't think you're beautiful. We don't think you're handsome. The fig leaves of addiction. You know, we get addicted to things that we're trying to fill this void of intimacy and relationship with God. All of these things are things that can, I think, stop us from really having close relationship with God because we hide away from Him. We try to cover up our shame. You know, that sad day when we were exiled from this Garden of Eden, they weren't just walking away from a beautiful place. The intimacy they knew with God, the relationship they had, now was broken. This love, sense of security, identity, purpose in life, they were now separated from the Father. When we have no parents, we become orphans. I hope you understand that. When we don't have any parents, we become orphans. Orphans have no father, no mother, and humanity from that point on became spiritual orphans. This is so significant because all of us were born into this orphan identity, and an orphan has no name, has no home. It's always searching for these things. They're searching for family. It's why so many people, I believe, are walking around in this world now, walking around on earth, who are looking and trying to find their identity in many, many things other than God and relationship with Him. We cover up our lack, our shame, our lostness, our separation with fig leaves of this world, searching in so many places to find fulfillment and acceptance. I want to ask you today, what are your fig leaves? What are the things you use to cover up your insecurities and lack? Have you ever stopped and thought about this? We'll continue to always keep searching for love, living out of lack, looking for identity for more because we're not satisfied. And yet, if we don't stop and allow God to deal with our shame, to take from us this constant searching that we have, we'll continue to live like orphans. God's desire is to restore relationship. His desire isn't to leave us as orphans. That's the cool bit. His plan has always been to restore relationship and family. Restore it to the way that He intended things to be. Remember, we just read in John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Great news. This is why Jesus came. Churches are meant to actually attract orphans. It should be a place where spiritual orphans can come to finally find their true identity. To belong, to become welcome, like to welcome home. Imagine, can you think about the prodigal son, to be embraced by the father, to be like, hey, this isn't a place for orphans where we just kind of push you out or just kind of, you know, just don't do anything with you, but we embrace you because we want you to be healed, set free, whole, and delivered. If we don't do that, then we're really at risk of just becoming an orphanage. Where orphans just come in and we just are all like, oh, let's just all be orphans together. And yet, we know that God has actually designed His church to become a place of healing and restoration. He wants to give you a new identity today. I want to share with you some of my own story about how I became, went from orphan to God's family. I had a great mum and dad growing up. They both worked super hard to support us, they provided for us, they loved us. However, when I was a kid, I never really felt like I kind of fitted into the mold of what I felt my dad kind of wanted for me. You see, he was a country lad, he was a farmer, he grew up working hard on the land, he was always super tough, hard-working man. Now, when we were growing up, we lived on a small farm outside of the other side of Rosewood, past Ipswich. It was fantastic. We moved then into Moggle and we bought a chicken farm. And so it was a lot of fun. Like growing up on these places, it was great. There's a lot of positives of being on a farm, like making go-karts, riding horses, shooting things, maybe. But I was a kid who loved sport. Like, love it. I mean, look at me, seriously. I'm glad some of you got it. But I love sport. I love to just play basketball and soccer and cricket. And if I could just play more sport I would do it, right? And so if you can imagine, these things was kind of hard to reconcile because I wasn't really fitting to the mold of being a farmer's boy. You know, my older brother particularly was like, he was the one who was always out there helping and just riding horses and doing all stuff that Dad wanted him to do because like, this is what we do. And I kind of felt like, I don't really fit here. And so I really, really wanted to please my dad. So I threw everything I had into impressing him, performing for him, going and going, hey, how can I make these representative teams in sport? You know, I put everything I had, right? I felt like if I did this, then I would be accepted and loved by my father. So nearly everything I did was based on trying to perform and do well. You may be resonating with this in yourself. Like, I really feel that a lot of us are going, well, if I don't perform for Father God, if I don't perform for my father, it then projects on to him and me, like this relationship, like if I don't do well, then something's broken. If I don't do well, then I'm not going to feel accepted. I'm not going to feel really loved. You know, I was trying to find these fig leaves in sport and success. It wasn't until my mid-20s where God got a hold of me. He really did. And he showed me that my identity is only found in him. You see, when I came to God, I didn't need an orphanage. I needed a home. I needed a relationship restored with the Father. I needed God to take off the fig leaves that I had built around me, which I thought was protecting me, and put on the robes. You know, I encountered Father God's love in a way that for the first time in my life, I no longer felt like I was looking for my identity. I was now a child of God. Relationship identity was now restored, and my shame and living out of lack was no longer. I no longer saw him as this distant, cold God sitting up on the throne with his big stick waiting for me to do something wrong, and he would just whack me on top of the head and be like, stop it, stop it. You know, that's how I saw God, honestly. Like, it wasn't until I did streams, actually, where God, which is amazing ministry, I'll talk into that in a second, but it wasn't until I did that where I was like, wow, I've had these lenses on my eyes, which has been seeing Father God from this point of view, like I saw my own father, and it was just messed up. The Holy Spirit opened up my eyes to Father God's incredible love and the understanding that I am a child of God, that I started to live out and believe it then. God showed me how I was now part of his family. He showed me a couple of really key passages, which I want us to turn to now. John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." What a cool passage. What a cool verse. It actually says it there. Gives you the right now to become a child of God. In Romans 8:14-17, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also glorified with him." Wow. See, when we hear the gospel, confess our sins, and place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are at that moment born into God's kingdom as his children and become heirs with him for eternity. Starting now. I'm now a part of God's royal priesthood. I have full access to the Father. Everything. It's not like I have part access. Full access to Holy Spirit. Full access to Jesus. Full access to Father God. I've been on this journey now with God to live this out every day since, to understand what does it really then mean to live out family, to live out kingdom family. We talk about family a lot here at church, and some of you may be sitting in the room feeling like, well, I don't really get that. I don't know what you mean every time you say family. What does that really mean? Well, you've talked about it for years, but I haven't seen it in my own life. I'm not quite sure what does that look like. See, today, you have the opportunity to step into all that God has for you. One of the most beautiful things about God is that he gives us a choice. He gives us a choice of whether or not we want to follow him or not, whether we want to embrace this not just concept, but this deep foundational thinking. You know, he could have made us robots. He could have done that. He could have chosen to go, hey, we're going to program them to behave and do this and believe this, and that's it. There'll be nothing. But I know that if that happened, we could not have experienced his true love. We could not have experienced this amazing love. See, we can only do that because he's given us a choice. Jesus has done the work. He's dealt with the orphanness. He's made a way for us to be able to say, our Father. See, if you've got Jesus, you're not an orphan. So if you're still thinking like an orphan, you need to give that to God today. Love is powerful because it's a choice. Being a child of God is powerful because it's a choice. You're believing Jesus at his word. Church, will you stand with me? This is now your time with God. I hope that today you've gone into a place of intimacy and stepping into his presence. Have heard maybe even some fresh things that's really hitting here, that you're just going, wow, God, I need to do some business with you. Well, thanks for that reminder, God, because I haven't been living out my world, everything I'm doing as a child of God, but I've been living out of this orphan spirit. Today, this week, what is it that God's highlighting that you need to give him? Is it something as simple and yet so profound as giving God your thought life? Is it that you need to delve deeper into God's word and go back and read these things that we've spoken on today to be able to go, I want to understand this better, because God, I kind of get the Holy Spirit thing, I get Jesus, but I don't really see you as my Father. I actually kind of see you as a distant dad who's kind of waiting for me to do something wrong and he's just going to hit me with a stick. Is it that you need to take the step today or this week to sign up to Streams Ministries that's happening in July? So profound. I really felt like when I was preparing this today, there's some people in the room that when they hear the word Streams or when they see it written in the River Life news, that you kind of just go, oh, that's that thing that the super spiros do, or the weird people, or whatever they might call other people. I want to challenge you today, if that's you maybe, or if you've never done Streams, if you don't know what it's about, essentially for 8 weeks, we go on this incredible journey where you can be transformed and aligned to how God sees you and how you see God. That's it. I think everyone needs to get in there and do it if you haven't. It's so good because it takes off these lenses, these things that we've been potentially looking at God for our whole lives, and it starts to help us see, wow, how loved am I? How empowered am I? God loves me for who I am, but he doesn't want to leave me how I am. He just wants to now transform me and see that there is more. There is more to our Christian walk than just coming into church, singing songs, saying g'day to people, having a coffee and going and going, okay, that was my God time done. He wants you to walk this out daily. He wants you to walk out of freedom, because when we see that we're no longer orphans, we now live in freedom. We now have access to the full access to Father God, that we now know, hey, we can go pray for healing. We can now go and prophesy over people. We can now help people with generosity beyond what I know, because it's now empowered by Holy Spirit. It's empowered by God. We don't do it out of our own strength. See, God wants to restore family for revival. This is a daily walk to believe truth instead of lies. When I fall back into this thinking, this orphan thinking, I know I need to stop. I need to say, God, I give you these thoughts. Would you take these thoughts captive now, God? And what do you have in exchange for me, God? What does it look like for you to come to the altar today and give God the things that are in this world that are holding you back from this perfect relationship with him? See, Jesus said that he's going to make himself real to you through the Holy Spirit when he's not with us anymore. So let's just pray into a couple of things. So would you close your eyes? Whatever posture you kind of want to assume, whether it's sitting, kneeling, look, even if you want to come down the front, just remain socially distanced. But I want to encourage you just to do something right now. Just put your hands out in front of you just to receive from God. But I ask you this. So I just want you to pray this to God now. God, show me anything that's holding me back from a relationship with you. Show me anything that's kept me living out of an orphan spirit. If he's shown you anything right now, I now ask you to just say, God, I choose to now give these things to you. The beautiful thing about God is that we know that he has something better. So would you now say, God, what do you have for me? What is your truth? Holy Spirit, come now and fill each person afresh, that you would cause our spirits to cry out, Abba, Father. I want to remind you that you can journey this with someone today. If you want to go deeper, we have a prayer team. We have pastors available through the week. I just really encourage you not to just leave this. But God, will you remind us daily that the most important role we will ever have is that of your beloved child.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.